My text again tonight is in the book of Psalms, and Psalm 46. Psalm 46, and the first verse is a text for the whole psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I believe that the Psalms speak to all our hearts. It would be a hard heart indeed that, if he has any love towards God at all, that would not find the Psalms appealing. Strange verses in the Psalms, and very warm verses as well. And yet they speak to us because they describe the experience of the believer. And sometimes the believer here gives glimpses of what it means to belong to God. Other times shares loneliness and unpopularity. Speak to us because we can associate ourselves so easily with the experience of the psalmist. And I'm sure how many times have we been troubled or afflicted in some way. And we've gone to the book of Psalms, and there we have found comfort and we have found help. And this psalm is one of those. The two verses perhaps that are the most well known: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, and also, be still and know that I am God. We're familiar with all the psalm, but maybe those two phrases particularly stand out. The Psalms share experiences with us, but they also bring great doctrines and great teachings about our great faith and our Christian faith. They do that as well. So there is a balance. There is the experimental or experiential. There is that where we can say, yes, I can understand what he means by that. I can understand that pain in his heart. I can understand that loneliness. And yet also, there are great teachings about God. When you think, well, to take at random, the eighth psalm, when it describes the works of God in a particularly lovely way. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength, because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? There's so much teaching there about our situation and also something of the greatness of God himself. In this particular psalm, the psalmist is describing a time of turmoil and a time of tempest, and also a time when he recognizes the strength of God and the comfort of God and the peace of God. And in reading a psalm like this, when we read a phrase, the heathen raged, and we can imagine a situation like that where maybe we are unpopular because of our faith, or where our circumstances are overwhelming us, and we could ask the psalmist, well, what did you do? Did you find peace? And his answer in the totality of the psalm is, yes, I found peace. And in the midst of all the tempest and the fury and the turmoil, I found peace. And that is one of the basic messages of our Christian faith, that in the midst of the circumstances of our lives, that our Christian faith can have a profound effect. There are many people who struggle without the Christian faith. And of course, we vary a great deal in our stamina. Some are able to take a great deal. But when it comes to it, there comes a time when we have exhausted our store of endurance. And unless we have something else more than ourselves, we feel terribly desolate and lonely. The Christian faith is a dynamic faith. It's a wonderful faith. There's nothing to be ashamed of in the way that we are attracted. Some are attracted to it because they long to be in glory and not to have to suffer the pangs of hell. That is all right. That is how they were touched. And others will come because they were forlorn and lonely, and they came because of the comfort of the gospel. However, whatever chord was struck, whatever it may have been, that's all very well. It's fine, so long as we come to God and find him to be our all. Now, this psalm. There are three natural divisions in the psalm. The first one, I've given a little heading like this. The strength of the Saviour. I want us to look at the psalm from the eyes of the New Testament, which is the only way we can look at the Old Testament. We look at the Old Testament when there are references, for example, in Isaiah 53, where he says he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We can see the Lord there very clearly. And so we look at these statements and the paragraphs, phrases, and so on, and count in the Old Testament through the eyes of the New Testament. Now then, let's look at this psalm. The strength of the Saviour. There is a positive declaration here, where this man shows his faith in God, where he shows his admiration of God and describes God. So we ask him, how would you describe God? And he puts it like this: God is my refuge and my strength. God is our refuge and strength. I've come to the end of my own. He could share that with us, but he's saying primarily this: God is my refuge and strength. So he begins this beautiful psalm on a very positive and a powerful note, as if there was some great orchestra. And then we're all silently waiting, and as the conductor raises the baton, and then in this particular piece of music, it starts off with a tremendous chorus of sound that fills the whole building. And immediately we are captured into the type of music it would be, that is to be dynamic and strong and powerful. That is the psalm. You can almost hear the sound of it all. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Let's look at the words. Refuge and strength. It's worth looking at the words for our comfort. The refuge would mean a strong place like a fortress. And that the believer, in times of great anxiety or problems, can flee for refuge. Like in the olden days when there were attacks upon a city or a town, and where they used to have their castles on the walled town, the town would be within, and the farmers and little villages around. And when there was a great threat, then the people would be hurrying best they could, with as much as they could carry, as quickly as they could come, through the gates of the town before those doors were finally shut, and they would be safe, first of all, in the town, behind the town walls, and probably ultimately within the castle itself, a fortress. And there they would be safe. And for us, we have in God a fortress. He's stronger than any foe. He is a refuge in any circumstance. So we start with that great knowledge of God. He is my fortress. He is my strength. A child will fly to his father or mother and cling to their legs, feeling that's the greatest fortress they could ever have. But greater than any father is our heavenly Father, and he is greater than any castle, and we go to him. So he says quite confidently, when I am in trouble, and he has been many times, as the psalmist, he says, I go to my refuge. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He adds another little word. He is my refuge and my strength. When I go there to him, I find that my fears, that my anxieties, they are dispersed. And I begin to recognize that not only is he a place where he grants me a place of safety, but he also gives me, in that time of difficulty, he gives me strength. And as I am in his company, I partake of something of the strength he allows me to have. And so he gives me enabling grace. So now here I am in my situation. I'm still in this place, in this town, in this village where I am. But spiritually, I have fled to my rock. Spiritually, I've gone to my refuge. And there I draw my succor. There I draw my strength. It is from God himself. Then he brings a little warm phrase, a beautiful one. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Immediate. It's a wonderful thought. Immediate. There is no need for me to have to hurry to a chapel or a church or to see a minister. I can immediately, where I am, although I find comfort in those places and with those people, yet I can immediately, where I am, say, I want a very present help, Lord. I want a refuge now. I want strength now. And he discovers that he's a very present help in trouble. I hardly have finished the asking, and he's there. That's his experience. And he begins with our great confidence notes. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with a swelling thereof. Well, it's descriptive. And if we continue with our music thought, you can imagine how a composer could really go to town on that kind of statement, where he begins to describe now in the thunder of notes. He's able to say, look at this. Here is a believer. God is his refuge. God is his strength. A very present help in trouble. And he will not fear. For fear he will have faith. And what kind of trouble can it be? And then these descriptive words, the earth be removed, the mountains carried away, the waters roar. Now, they are descriptive. It could be the physical, it could be the elements, it could be nature itself. It happens. It could be in a part of the world where the very earth seems to give way under our feet. It could be in a time like that, when there's no possibility of human help. It could be in such a time. It could also be in our circumstances. It could be in a time of persecution, where you find the anger of the nations and their opposition to the faith. And we could describe our feelings in this way. It was like this. The earth seemed to be moving. The mountains seemed to fall. And the waters roared. And everything to shake. And my whole life and my circumstances were being shaken. What could I say in the midst of it? God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble. And I will not fear. Why? Because God is my refuge and my strength. Now that's the first point. Martin Luther has written a hymn based on the psalm. I thought I'd quote one verse. It's very difficult just to leave it at one. But if you think of that psalm, and think of Martin Luther and the opposition that he had, the danger to his life, and how he stood in great peril, and how bravely he stood for the doctrine of the gospel, of the saving gospel, of justification by faith, and how lonely he must have felt on times. And he wrote this hymn. A safe stronghold, our God is still, a trusty shield and weapon. He'll help us clear from all the ill that hath us now o'ertaken. Now, who is behind our problems? The ancient prince of hell hath risen with purpose fell, strong mail of craft and power he weareth in this hour. On earth is not his fellow. There are times when it seems as if all hell were let loose. Then he goes on. How can I oppose it? With force of arms, we nothing can. Full soon were we downridden. But for us fights the proper man, that's Jesus, whom God himself hath bidden. Ask ye who is the same. Christ Jesus is his name, the Lord Sabaoth's son. He and no other one shall conquer in the battle. And where this world all devils o'er, and watching to devour us, we lay it not to heart so sore, not they can overpower us. And let the prince of ill look grim as e'er he will, he harms us not a whit, for why, his doom is writ, a word shall quickly slay him. God's word for all their craft and force, one moment will not linger, but spite of hell shall have its course, 'tis written by his finger. And though they take our life, goods, honour, children, wife, yet is their profit small, the city of God remaineth. See, his concern there is for the body of the church. A safe, strong hold, our God is still. And we would be able to say the same with the sentiments of this psalm. So that whatever our circumstances as a Christian faith in the future in this land, or the present time of declension, or personal affliction and difficulties, we are able to say, God is my refuge and strength, a safe, strong hold, my God is still. That's how the psalm begins. Second point, the solace of the soul, a place of comfort. Listen to this beautiful verse. There is a river. It's a lovely picture. There is a river. Now, I still have to read the verse before, the verses. Think of the storm that's going on in life, in circumstances, persecution of the church, whatever it may be. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river. We are introduced then, not to all this noisy turbulence and turmoil that's going on. It may be the circumstances of my life. It may be that I woke up one morning and trouble upon trouble and sorrow upon sorrow comes upon us. It may be like that. And then in the midst of the sorrow and the trouble, I remember he is my refuge and strength. And then he gives me this lovely picture and says, do you know this? There is a river. And the river seems insignificant as compared to the roaring waters of my circumstances. And yet it's more powerful. There is a river, the streams or the channels whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacles of the Most High. What has been taught there? It's describing the power of God, something very beautiful. Like a very broad, a very deep, and yet a very still kind of river, running, flowing, and yet there is a stillness about it, and a silence. Not one of these noisy mountain streams. It is a great, majestic river winding its way through the land. And this time through the city of God, the people of God, the church of God, there is a river. The grace of God, the power of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, a river, and even its little channels irrigate the land. Even its little streams make our hearts glad. And even when a little tiny stream, a little channel, seems to be belonging to it, my heart is gladdened because it belongs to this river. The channels, actually, that come from it, not streams running into it, but the channels that come from it, even those channels irrigate and bring blessing to my heart and make glad my situation. What comes to me from this river? The beauty and the kindness and the gladness and the loveliness and the grace of God. So in the middle of the roaring waters, in the midst of the turmoil of circumstances, there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place. Now if the streams make us glad, what does the river do? Do you remember these words? Like a river, like. It's always like, isn't it? It's more than a river. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect, yet it floweth fuller every day. Strange, isn't it? It's perfect, yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect, yet it groweth deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. God is there. Verse 5 goes on to say, when we are aware of the river of God's grace and the very streams and the channels blessing us, God is in the midst of her. He's in and involved with that river. He's in that city. He's amongst his people. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early, the city of God, the people of God. We shall not be moved. Jesus Christ, our Lord, said in his Gospels, he said, about his church, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. Let me illustrate. It comes to my mind now. As a little chapel, we're not terribly important in the eyes of the media or the people of the city. It doesn't matter to a certain degree if we're important or any point. I don't mean that, but they'd hardly know that we're here. I think an amazing thing to me came once when I was going round even the streets around the church where there many of us live. And they thought we were closed. You see, probably in bed in the morning and something at night. Totally unaware of us. We must get used to that thought. It's like that today. They're unaware of the work of God. And yet we are here. And there are great powers in our own city. I'm not thinking of any particularly now. There are very powerful people. Bound to be, aren't they? Bound to be. There must be very powerful politicians. And if anybody was writing anything about the present city, the city of Cardiff, they would be putting, these are the names worth knowing, these are the people that are worth visiting, these are the places that are important. We might be in some little appendix somewhere where places of worship, we might just squeeze in there, but there would be all these things. Or shall I tell you this? All the wealth, the power, the political systems of our age, as they rise, and we are here, they fall, we'll be here, and others will rise and fall, but the city of God remaineth. We'll see many of them out. That's the amazing thing. God is our refuge and strength. A safe stronghold, our God is still. In the eyes of heaven, what is there in the city of God? However many faithful churches there are my people. There is my holy place. She shall not be moved. Can you hear the music? Can you hear the violins and the wind instruments and the drums? I can hear them going to a great crescendo in this delight and saying, she shall not be moved. God is in the midst of her. And if God is with us, then who indeed can be against us? Then he goes back to describe. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. It's one of the verses I noticed in this hymn that I read. Here it is. And let the prince of ill look grim as e'er he will. He harms us not a whit, for why? His doom is writ. A word shall quickly slay him. But whose word? God's word. Only a word from God, and the whole situation can be changed. Only a word from God, and the whole pattern of a country can be changed. Only a word, we are witnessing these things. Only a word from God, and this is our God. He is a God of circumstances, the God of history. He is a sovereign God and an active God. What shall I say about this? Then he says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. There's our comfort. So our comfort is in his almighty and his eternal strength. Then lastly, the struggle of the sinner. There may be some that the psalmist is singing to that were not convinced. They were not convinced that there was a God, or if there was a God, that he was in control. And so he writes those words. And then he appeals in verse 8. And this is his appeal. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made on the earth. We can translate that nearer to our understanding by saying, come, behold the works of the Lord. And what astonishing things he hath done on earth. It's a word of amazement. What astonishing things, what amazing things he hath done on earth. Come, And listen, so he's appealing now, and that they might be convinced. And what are these astonishing things? They are the things to do with God. Think of the most astonishing thing of all that our God has done is the incarnation. The incarnation. Oh, what is that? We could say, come and see the works of the Lord. And we could listen tonight and go to Psalm 8 and say, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Well, yes, they are wonderful, and they must be far more wonderful than my or our little tiny minds can ever take in. And whatever lies beyond, if he were willing to show us, and if we had the ability to understand it, they're the works of the Lord. Or we could look at our own earth and say, well, yes, here is nature and the cycle of nature, and our a small star called the sun, and our little system, solar system, and our earth, and the continents, and the seas, and the fertility of the land, and the human race, nations, languages, cultures, and so on. See all this. See all this. But see most of all, a work of grace. That there, in the middle of it all, when man had fallen, where sin raged, and where now heathen raged, there in the midst of it all, come and see the wonderful works of the Lord. And the greatest of them all is the gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a person right through. We are talking not about a rock or a fortress, we are talking about God right through. It is personal. And here, the greatest work of all is that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross as a punishment for our sin, that he rose again for our justification, that he ascended to glory, that he's on the right hand of the Majesty on high, and that there will be a time when he shall come the second time in glory. And this is our Saviour. This is our Saviour, and this is the greatest work. Listen to, if I can just use hymns here and there. There, upon the cross of Jesus, mine eye at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me, and from my stricken heart with tears, two wonders I confess, the wonder of his glorious love, and my own worthlessness. Come and see the works of the Lord. We can say that to each other. We can say to our friends, come and see, come and hear the wonderful works of God. Then a glimpse at his power again. He maketh wars to cease. Well, he can do it. Unto the end of the earth. He cutteth the bow, he breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. What's he referring to? Well, of course he can, if he wanted to, when there is a fight between one nation or another, he could, with only just the inclination of his desire, he could cause it to cease. We know that is true, but there is a reference here to a greater war than there has ever been between one empire or another, or one ideology or another. It is a spiritual war. The prince of the power of the air, Satan, the god of this world, and his domain, and his dreadful place we call hell. This one. And where he would desire the destruction of our souls. And a desire to spoil the work of God on this earth. Once an archangel. Once a high ranking angel. And fallen from glory. This one with his third of the population of heaven. This one with his evil spirit. Whispering and enticing. And in whose grip we are. Until we are released by God's grace. It isn't that we say, well, will I get into his grip? Or will I get into God's grip? We are in Satan's grip until we are released. We are spiritually blind until we are enlightened. He can make that war to cease in my soul. Where no longer Satan can claim me. And where God has triumphed. And where that war is ceased forever in my soul. He maketh wars to cease. And then this verse I love to finish. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our strength. Then there are many translations. And I couldn't see that they contradicted in any way. And yet, I'm going to use one phrase and come back to the one we have here. And it enriches it, but it doesn't replace it. The word "be still" could be translated, "stop struggling, cease striving." Now, look at the picture. When you see this great God of ours, who is our refuge and our strength, and a great stronghold, when you see how he can overcome, when the heathen rage, that he provides this river of grace for us, and a solace for our souls, when you see this, come and consider the works of the Lord. Come and consider this. Think. Stop struggling against him. Think of the Apostle Paul when he was Saul. When he thought in zeal and in energy that he was doing good for the faith of Judaism, and he fought against the Christian faith and did all he could, and breathing out threatenings was on the way to Damascus, you can almost hear God saying, stop struggling. It is hard for you to struggle, Paul. Stop struggling. Cease to struggle. In other words, be still. Think. Think where you're going. Think of the direction of your soul. Be still. There is a striving, struggling there, but there is also this powerful word, be still, my soul, and consider. Consider God. Consider this great God. Then the verse goes on, be still and know that I am God. Now, what shall I do in the stillness of my soul, where included is this meaning, where he's asking me to cease struggling against this God, to keep fighting against God. And here I am, Lord, I'm still. What next? And know. Know what? That I am God? Just that. To know that I am God. How shall I know that he is God? In his Son, Jesus Christ. To know him is to know God. No man, said Jesus, cometh unto the Father but by me. To know Jesus Christ, what do we mean by knowing? To know that he is the Son of God, and to believe it in the depths of our being, with a knowledge that is not only a superficial knowledge, this is a claim of the Christian, but this is a knowledge of my heart. And I believe it with all my heart and soul, to know that he's the Son of God, and to know why he came, and to know that he lived a perfect life in my stead, and to know that he died on Calvary for my sin and was punished in my stead, to know that he rose from the dead and it was a physical resurrection, to know that he will come again the second time in glory, and to believe this is my Savior. Be still, he says, stop struggling, stop fighting against him. See, he can cause wars to cease. The heathen may rage to no avail. There is a river of grace. Be still and know that I am God. Then I say, all right, Lord, I can come there. What next? Believe. Ask God for faith. Believe with all thy heart. And repent and turn away from thy sin. Then we are able to claim the psalm. We are able to say, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not I or we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains thereof be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river. The streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her on that right early. The heathen rage. The kingdoms were moved. He uttereth his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold, the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh a bow and cutteth a spear in sunder. He burneth a chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our strength. Do you believe like that? Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful remain. Be still, my soul. Thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul. Thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he hath the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul. The waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul. The hour is hastening on when we shall be forever with the Lord, when disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul. When change and tears are past, all safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Let us pray.